You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. I am trying out new options for background. So I'm using this brick virtual background. I'm going to see what works best. But hey, everybody out there, we are being blessed with some rain from the heavens, all bringing us to be grateful that we have rain right now. Hopefully that's going to quell the fires and keep anything from firewise. So thank goodness for that. Also, I want to just give a quick local shout out to Breathable. The name of the company is called Binozion, Binozion.com. They sell breathable bras for women to keep our breast uplifted and healthy. So you might want to check them out. I told them I'd give them a shout out because I think that's a cool thing to be doing. You know, we got to keep the girls up there looking good. Also, so we don't forget our sponsor, Coldwell Banker's very own certified senior real estate and a probate specialist, Kevin Pike. You want to reach out to him at 818-571-1508. That's 818-571-1508. Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, and let's roll. Today we have a wonderful guest. He is a producer, actor, and founder of Sam Dever Productions podcast. His name is Sam Dever, and we're going to have him come into the studio and talk all about how he started and why he wants to help all of us help ourselves. Take it away. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Osiris. How you doing? Good to see you.
I'm good. I was very excited about having you on because I love people. One of my questions is, why help other people not yourself? Why want to be bothered with others in terms of, you know, being helping others find their dream, create their passion, and then follow the stream and process of what it takes to do make those dreams happen?
That's an incredible question. I'm a big believer in we all need to become the best versions of ourselves so we can have the best world possible. So yes, we want to do what we want to do, but by helping others do what they want to do, they're going to be the best versions of themselves. Therefore, we're going to have better relationships, better products into the world, just better energy. Everyone just to be elevated into who they really are. And that's why one of my latest things is called Produce Your Passion. And that's what it's all about. It's like whatever that passion, whatever that fire is inside of you, you need to act upon that. And you may not think it's a big deal, but someone else may need to see or hear or read whatever it is that you have inside you, because that's going to help them. So it's just really, I'm just a big believer, not only about us becoming the best version of ourselves, but helping others as well, because it's just going to be better for everybody.
And I love that because we have a lot of people that are self-focused and not so much, let me help myself while I help others as well, which brings me to the question. Just so the audience knows, he's got a real cool background. He was born in Canton, Illinois, I believe. Yep. Then he went from there to Tucson, Arizona. Then he went from Tucson to Las Vegas. And then he went from Las Vegas and ended up here in LA. So we want to know, what did you gather from living in all those different situations, just to give us information to help us move ourselves forward?
First off, kudos to you for doing your research. That was spot on.
Gotta hold it to memory.
Yeah. So yeah, I come from a town called Canton, Illinois. It's about 20,000 people, give or take. Very proud to come from there. Great place to grow up. But I always had West Coast aspirations. So I remember being at home, it'd be snowing outside, and on my little 13-inch TV in my room, I'd be watching MTV Cribs. And they would all be Yeah, it was a great show. And I would just always see the palm trees in LA. And I'm like, man, I want to, because music and entertainment, that's what really drove me. So, you know, I did my thing locally in my small town, then in my college town, which was at Western Illinois University in Macomb, Illinois. And then I had a couple buddies in Tucson, Arizona, who were finishing up there. And they knew I was done with school and they had a little more time. They go, hey, do you want to come be our third roommate? I didn't even think about it. I said, yes. I packed everything up. God bless my parents. They supported me. They supported the decision to go out west. And I went out there and it was really having to start over again because I knew all these people back in Illinois, but now I'm going to a brand new area of the country. I only know a couple of people. So it was really starting over. So it was really a test of like being open to what can come next and how you can evolve and grow, but also staying true to your roots and that desire. And I was in Tucson for about a year. Then the opportunity to go to Las Vegas came, and then that was really transformative because Las Vegas actually made me forget about Los Angeles in a way, because multiple reasons why, but really there, I really got to explore my creativity musically. That's where I really got into interviewing people and doing media production, and then also introduced me into the acting world as well. But then
what did you do there? I saw that I felt and saw the transition from especially from Arizona to Vegas. It was almost like someone that has an inner guide, so to speak, like leading yourself through these various situations to get yourself to here where you're an actor now, and now you're doing production, and you are really in the more creative side of it in that way.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm really big on intuition. I'm really big on intuition and following that inner guide. And the thing with that is you really have to pay attention to it. Like you have to pay attention to it. Yeah, it's very quiet. The world is not designed really for us all to follow it. Society can make you forget about it quickly. You get caught up with life, et cetera, et cetera. And with Las Vegas, you know, I knew a lot of people. I was doing everything I wanted to do. And I'm like, yeah, LA. But then out of nowhere, I just started getting this calling for California. And it was really interesting. And I remember being on a photo shoot in Vegas, and we were talking in between shooting. And I brought up, I'm like, you know what? Something's telling me to go to LA. And I kid you not, moments after I said that, a shooting star, we were out in the desert, goes by. And in that moment, I don't think I've ever told this story, I wished, I'm like, I'm moving to Los Angeles. Sure enough,
right,
6 months
right
later.
At the time of it's so cosmic. I love those things when you get those signs, shooting star. I'm going to Vegas, you know?
Yeah. And my brother was going back. He lived in Vegas too. And he's in production, and we were going, I said, hey, are you open to moving to LA? And he's like, yeah, sure. Why not? So we both were able to move out together. He's moved back to Vegas since then, but
okay.
It helped a lot though, to have someone to come out with. And immediately when I moved to Los Angeles, my acting teacher in Las Vegas, shout out to Daryl Morris, he told me, he goes, you got to go to this place called Playhouse West in Los Angeles.
Oh, Playhouse West is the mom.
Yeah, that's it. It's incredible. This literally, I went there on night three. And again, this is all, it's like following a plan, but also letting all these people you meet along your journey. And this will lead into the podcast that I do. I view everyone, it's either God speaking through you or it's these inner guides, like giving you messages. And he's like, you're going to go to Playhouse West. I'm like, okay, let me show up night three out here. I show up, instantly fall into the community. I meet amazing people right off the bat.
Yeah.
And really, I've been in that world. Now I've been out here 7 years and I'm connected to all these people. And so to go back to your question, it just feels right. Like it's just a feeling when you get these feelings, and when you start following these breadcrumbs, and then more breadcrumbs keep appearing, which lets me know that I'm going where I go. I may not know sometimes what the end goal may be. I may think I know what it is, but sometimes that's why The Alchemist is one of my favorite books, because it's about following your inner intuition and finding your treasure. And sometimes that can be different than what you thought it would be, but it ends up being even better than you could ever imagine.
Better than you thought. Exactly. So when you, the podcast are a really interesting way to get, to have conversation with others, to get messages across. But more than that, your podcast, again, they're enriching. They're not the podcast that you're interviewing someone and it's all, you know, it's about a certain topic or whatever. Your podcast are geared and intended towards sparking and rekindling or helping somebody regurgitate their passion or whatever they forgot, along with getting your own fulfillment out of that. How does that, how are you able to blend those two integral parts of moving forward in a process?
Yeah. So the Sam Dever podcast, it's funny. We talk about this because the more I've grown it, the more people are like, hey, what's your tagline? What's your 10-second pitch on what this is? And I really went into it like, oh, I'm going to do this Joe Rogan style and just do long form conversations, except I'm not famous. So
not yet.
But you're spot on. These are long form conversations, you know, minimum, usually an hour and a half. Sometimes we go well beyond that into 2 hours because you really can't flush out getting to know someone in 20 minutes. You really can't. A lot of times I like to call it the magic starts around the 45 minute mark after we've been warming up to each other and talking. And then we really get to dive deep off of that. But it's been a great experience of just not only to getting to know someone, but helping better understand how people have overcome obstacles and what makes them tick. A lot of times we go into it thinking we know everything we're going to talk about. And we may cover that in the beginning and then we go out in left field and it becomes an even more beautiful experience than I would ever have imagined. It's a lot of people such as yourself that are artists, entrepreneurs, people. I like to say, if I'm doing the quick sum up of it, people who live and think outside the box.
I was thinking that you're being very intuitive today. I was thinking that as you were talking about, you know, the non-conventionalist, if you will, the black sheep, if you will, the people that are going to follow what they feel they should follow, regardless of what their friends and family think, if you will. And most of those people are people like you, yourself, myself, people that do think and live outside of a box. I mean, I never was in a box. I couldn't find the right box. I never fit in a box because I never could find the right box because there was no box created for me. I had to create my own box. So, you know, when it comes to you portraying, like you're talking right now and you're inspiring, do you feel, was Tony Robbins or any of those kind of people, did you get any kind of spark? I love Tony Robbins, but he's very powerful. And I remember when he did a Shallow Hal with Jack Black.
Oh yeah, that's a
remember
great
that
movie.
Remember how he made him turn inside out and see people from another? It was interesting, but did he have any effect on you and how you deliver? Because I saw your video of you talking about your project producer for passion, and I saw that. Has he really affected how you deliver? Is that all naturally, which I feel authentically you?
Yeah, great question. First off, I'm a self-help junkie. My place is surrounded with books. It's books have played an integral part in my life and in the podcast. But yeah, Tony Robbins was definitely an early influence. I can't say that he was the only one because I've dove into so many people. But it's
who
funny
were some of the others.
Oh man, Gary Vaynerchuk was a huge one for me. Because back when social media really was rocking and rolling in 2010, he wrote he wrote his book Crush It, which was all about getting out there, this thing called social media. You can go out there, make your dream happen. We don't have to wait on anybody. Dr. Joseph Murphy wrote the book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. Mm-hmm. That book was huge for me.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that he was the one that really opened me up to, hey, this mind you can program for better or for worse. So you need to.
Yeah, that's deep. You can program it. You can program it. It's like a computer. You just put stuff in there and take stuff out. Go ahead with what you were talking about. So how did he influence your way of thinking?
Yeah, well, he really programmed in. And this is in my Tucson days. I remember I bought that book from a Barnes & Noble in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
And, you know, I had these dreams. All right, I made the move to move out west. You know, I want to be in entertainment. I want to do all these things. And he's talking about writing out your affirmations. It's the first time I'd ever heard any of this. And, you know, Tony Robbins, all these guys, Wayne Dyer, that's another one.
I've heard Wayne
Dyer. He was an early influence. A lot of everyone's saying the same thing, but they just package it in different ways, like to help different people comprehend. But in Power Subconscious Mind, he was talking about write out your affirmations. It's in I am doing this. I am this. Like, it's not I wish for this. No, I am doing this. And it's so interesting how you don't think it may do anything in the beginning, but you look back a year later and you look down at what you wrote and all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, I am doing it. You may not be completely there yet, but your mind starts opening up windows of opportunity, and it makes you pay attention more to different opportunities and things you can do to get you closer to these goals.
And so, the mind can play a lot of tricks on you. I am really, really hot on anything that has to do with developing the mind, having the mind, body, and spirit work together. I mean, I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan of how he handles and manages life, how he handles it, how he thinks about it, how he, you know, avoids the heavy emotional downfalls. How he's able to position his mind in a way to accept. I think that's kind of what I got from you when I met you, is that you had this kind of sturdy, focused mind that even if it looks like all hell is breaking loose on both sides, the tower's falling apart, your mind and you are going to still be in sync and move forward. That's what I got from listening to your podcast. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you is that were you at any point in time, did a light bulb go on? Did you feel like I have a dream? Or, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, I had a dream, or some voice spoke to me. And then all of a sudden I knew I was going to be a famous podcaster named Sam Dever. You know, did that happen to you at any point? Were you dreaming and journaling at all and writing things out? Or
that's a great question. I don't know if it was one distinct moment. It was more back to what I was saying earlier about I just kept going through these doors by following my intuition. Because back in Las Vegas, I ended up in a situation where I started doing film production for a show in Las Vegas. It was called The Social Network Show. And through them, that introduced me to podcast type format, these interviews. And I had the opportunity to start my own show there called The Social Media Show, which we're actually going to be bringing back. That's a whole other thing. But but that's what got me started in this whole interview thing. Because, you know, music and making videos for social media, that was like my initial
thing you got into.
Start in media and making things for the internet and art. But it was through this where I'm like, oh, wait. And I started interviewing people a lot. And I'm like, oh, I actually really like this.
And so, you're good at it.
Thank you. Thank you. As are you. And I think that's why when I met you, that's why I love about. And for the record, that's why I love Los Angeles, because it's like I meet people such as yourself where we don't have to explain ourselves. We all just
know exactly.
Yeah. 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 So I like, yeah. So, but then when I moved to LA, I came here for acting, going to this acting school. That was my life for 2 years. Well, then the shutdowns happened and all of that. And then I always had it in the back of my mind, man, I want to start interviewing people again, but I just want to do it through the Sam Dever podcast. There's no niche. There's no box. Yeah. There's no box we're going to do. If I meet someone that's incredibly interesting, I want to be able to have a long form conversation with them. Yeah. So it just, as it go, and I'm sure the podcast is, it's led me into Produce Your Passion, which leads me, it just keeps things keep unfolding. And it's just, I keep following this intuition and these new projects keep popping up.
Well, how do you keep, you know, I ask people this. There is a method and a technique to managing being multi-talented, being multi-anything. Look, I write, I sing, I dance, I can jump on top of the moon, roll all the plates at one time, and still stand up strong and sing at the end of the night at, you know, my favorite venue. How does Sam Dever still be Sam Dever and talk to an Osiris, talk to all the other interesting people for over an hour or so, you said, and still come out and maintain your own sanity? Like, I'm still right here with me.
This is a pending work in process. But I definitely have picked up tips and tricks along the way. And I just think through experience. One,
like
the first
what? What kind of tricks?
Staying present. That's number one. The ability, like right now, it's all about you and I in this interview. That's it. Because I'm sure you and I both have tons of other things that were leading up to this. And you and I both, the second we sign off of here, we got an avalanche of things coming our way. But it doesn't matter for the moment, because all that matters is we can put that aside and just really staying present. So being able to stay present, and that's come through meditation practices. That's come through a lot of the readings I've done. One book I highly recommend to creatives such as ourselves, that because we're like the cat and the ball of string a lot of times. It's like whatever way the string goes, like, oh, we're doing this over here. Oh, another thing. Let's go do that too. And it's a gift and a curse because, if you just keep doing that, you're never really going to focus on one thing and build it up. But there's a book by Cal Newport I finished recently called Deep Work. And it's so good because
what is it about?
It's about attention and focus. And we live in a world now where these phones are just a constant digital distraction and social media. They're great tools, but they also can work against you because you never are focusing. You're always thinking, oh, let me check my email. Let me check this. So he really breaks down like, hey, schedule your time to be on social media, to check your email, but also block out these windows of time. And this is what I've been doing lately. Hey, between this time and this time, usually in the morning, it's produce your passion. I'm writing a book right now. I'm about to finish. I'm building a website out for it. A bunch of other things. Okay. Between this time and this time, we need to schedule our podcast stuff. We need to coordinate with so-and-so on this and do this. Yada, 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 yada. And even this year in 2025, I've been getting back to music making. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to schedule around 9 o'clock, between 9 and 10 each night, I'm working on music. And before, I kept making excuses like, oh, well, I'll get to that when I do this. And you just, when you're everywhere, you just got to get organized with it. So everyone that's multi-talented and has several projects, it's like, you can do it. You can do it. But you have to really take one task at a time and not let them bleed into each other, because then you're never really fully giving your full self to it.
You know, that's a thought. I heard a song there go yada 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 yada. What you were saying, when you said yada yada, I'm like, oh, there's a song right there, yada 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 yada. You know, the way you were saying it, so you might want to think about putting that in there the next song you sit down.
Let me drop that down. Yeah.
Drop it in there, you know.
Yeah.
So in going back to what we are talking about with all of those creative cells talking to each other at one time, you know, all going on. And there's the mind that has the great task of division. Okay, what do I do first? What do I prioritize? Is this important? Is that important? But the subconscious mind is always working behind what we call beta. You know, beta is that active part of the mind that's always ongoing when you're doing your daily activities. Then there's theta, which is the deep part when you go sleep, and that's when you can do a lot of programming. But during the day, when you're doing your live podcast, and then as you said, we're going to get off here and go back to a million other things. Do you have anything written out? Do you journal? Do you think about it the day ahead of time and keep it organized in your own head? Or are you actually using a technique where you're scheduling something visual for yourself?
That's a great question. I'm a pen and paper guy. As much as technology is great, every night before I go to bed and shut down the laptop, I on a sheet of paper just like this from 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 8 to 9:30. This is my get up time. This is my meditation time. This is my affirmation time. I always start the day reading something to get my brain going. And then, you know, okay, from this time to this time, we're doing deep work. Maybe at noon or so, we're going to eat and go on a walk. I always do a morning walk too. Then we go into our afternoon work, and then it's usually going to the gym, going to yoga, because I'm big on physical fitness, and the mind go hand in hand for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And then, you know, you schedule your dinner, and then you schedule whatever meetings we might have. And then, you know, hey, then we need to our last bit of brain power we have before you start getting, because I'm huge on sleep. Yeah. I tell people, I am not team no sleep. I am team 8 hours.
Really?
I have to get sleep.
If I sleep 8 hours, I feel tired. If I sleep a good solid 4.5 to 5, I'm so good. But if I sleep longer than that, if I feel like I'm dragging or something, I feel tired. That's interesting how we all have our inner clocks like that.
And see, you may be part of that percentage of the people. I'm not a scientist, so no one quote me, but I have read that there are certain people in the population that only need 4 to 5 hours.
And I'm one of them.
So you may very well be. I have a structure to my day, and usually everything gets done. Usually I'm following everything, but you got to be open. Sometimes that phone call comes in that derails you. Sometimes I like to call them podcast YouTube emergencies, where something didn't upload right, or we have a sound thing.
Oh, gosh.
And then whatever was on my list for that time, well, that just got moved till tomorrow, because right now we have to. So I have a structure. I follow it as much as possible, but I'm not married to it, because you have to be open, especially in the business that we're in. You don't know who you may meet or what opportunity that may come your way and say, hey, can you be down here at this time? And we live in LA, so that's an advantage. Like we are in one of the cities where everything's happening. So at any given moment, we may have an opportunity. We got to drop it all and go.
When you're doing your thing as an actor, and you're doing your podcasting, do you find that there's a synergy between acting and doing podcasts? Although within a podcast, there's a lot of authenticity that may or may not be there when someone is actually acting. Talk about that.
That's a phenomenal question. And it's funny because the podcast has taken a lot of my time. It's been a lot of my focus in a good way, because I wanted to really build it up. So acting, you know, I act when the opportunities are there, but it has taken a back seat or on the back burner, if you will. But I realized where I went, Playhouse West, they really put it in your mind. It's acting really is having just a conversation. It's listening. And I realized I've actually become probably a way better actor through doing the podcast, because I'm constantly listening. A lot of times in acting, people are just memorizing their lines, and they're not even like really working off what the other person's doing. They're okay, when they're done, I'm just going to say my lines. Instead of waiting, letting it hit them, listening, and then having a real reaction. And through the podcast, I'm more patient now. It's caused me to become a way better listener. When I start doing more acting projects, I feel I will be more in touch not only with my own humanity, but whatever partner or partners I'm working with in that scene, to really come across as being human. Because that's what it is. Acting is just being real and being human.
I was just thinking of the scene. I'm telling you, man, we're in it today. We're like there right there in the day, because I was just thinking the same thing. Because the differences between acting and not acting, but just being there to be an actor, is so deep. Because when acting, the good actors I've seen, that they last a century, don't matter how old you are, they just can act whatever. They are really able to take on the persona and the entity of whatever their character is and completely lose themselves, which is kind of scary in a way. Because you have to like step outside of that box you're talking about, that body, and replace it with whatever character you're talking about. So the difference when you're doing your podcast and when you're acting, are you doing the same stepping out, or they are like, I guess to speak, like when an attorney does a case, there's a certain amount of acting because you have to, you know, you have to present yourself and you have to have a certain style and all of that. Do you find the same thing in doing your podcast?
Yeah.
You develop your own style that makes it different from other podcasts that people would watch.
Yeah. These are great questions, by the way. This is awesome. These are wonderful questions. I love this. I think this has been an evolution too. So before I started doing this podcast and even before I went to acting school, I would have answered you, I'm going to come up with this idea of what this character is. And I'm looking at my lines and I'm going to say this like this at this moment. I'm going to get angry right here. I'm going to get sad right here. Now it's more of like, okay, I'm going to do as much research as possible working on this role or preparing for this podcast guest. However, I'm not going to have an expectation of it when I do it. And I'll explain a little further. Mm-hmm. In podcast realm, once we start going and rolling, the podcast guest or me, we may hit it off on something before we start rolling that we didn't even know that we had in common. And that has happened multiple times.
Okay.
Where we'll talk about, oh yeah, I grew up in so-and-so. I'm like, you grew up with so-and-so? You know this? Blah, blah, blah. And it's actually, then all of a sudden we're in a new energy. Like whatever I thought this was going to be, it turns into something, but it becomes more authentic and real and people recognize that. Same with acting. You do as much research on the role, you know, developing this character as you can. But in that scene, if I'm in a scene and I don't get pinched to get really angry and I feel somewhat different, I need to go with that because people can tell authenticity. People can tell when, I don't want to know if faking it's the right word or forcing it rather than having these real moments. So that's my whole philosophy right now is like, hey, you do as much research as you can in preparation, but when you get to it, you let it be what it's going to be. Let it go. There you go. That's the word. You let it go.
Let it flow.
They taught us at Playhouse, you know, everything's a rehearsal. Even when you're putting up a play on, I call it game day, performance night. Hey, it's another rehearsal. Let it be what it's going to be. Same with my podcast. We're just going to let this be what it's going to be.
And don't you think it's a sell. Like we're selling, you know, like you're selling a personality or you're selling what you're talking about or what we believe in and things like that without selling. I mean, authenticity is yourself. So and if you sell yourself from being yourself, then, oh, well, you have no control over that. However, it's different than somebody saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to sell someone to motivate them to watch my podcast. The next time I do it, I'm going to say I drink Evian water. I'm going to say I do this or do that. How much of the podcast remains our own versus the distributor? Like the distributor would be Spotify, YouTube, they're distributors. They're distributing content to all of these places, much like the record labels and everybody else used to do, except it's digital. Can you explain to the audience how the benefit of having a podcast, what it can do for a product or a brand or, you know, and the person being their brand and their product? How does that work, Sam?
Phenomenal question. And I have breaking it down. The first thing I will say, because you bring up a great point, is how do you keep something authentic without coming off salesy, I guess would be the word.
That's it.
In that sense, and I'm speaking for myself. I told myself with my podcast, like I started the project out. I'm like, I just want to do this. And this is a quality of me for better or for worse, right? Like Jeff Bezos calls them mercenaries and missionaries. Mercenaries are just out for the money, the quick buck. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And then there's the missionary. They believe in this. They want to do this and they're willing to go down with the ship. So I'm more in that camp. So for me, in terms of And you're right. Like, we are on these other platforms. So I've had to learn the game of like, hey, I don't want to change what I'm doing too much, but I also have to be open to like, hey, there's certain things on YouTube that just work. They work better. It doesn't mean you have to change what you're doing, but hey, maybe you just change little things here and there.
And
I think there is a line to that. I think, because you don't want to start out doing something you really want to do, and then all of a sudden I look at it and like, okay, this has become something I never really wanted to do at all. And I did it all for money-making purposes, which in some business...
There's nothing wrong with that.
But at the same time, as an artist, so I'm always fighting with the business and art side of myself. So as an artist, I'm like, where do we find the happy medium to that? So to your question about what's the value of having something like a podcast, I just listened to someone describe this, and they described it beautifully, especially for people that do long form like we do.
Yes.
You can't put a price on being in someone's ears for hours at a time. Meaning when someone's listening to you for hours and hours, you're really building your brand subconsciously too in that sense. Because I know there's people I follow and I listen to, I've never bought one thing from them, but they have given me hours and hours of content. It's a chance to let people get to know you. And I think that's why Joe Rogan, as big as he is, not only was he one of the first pioneers to really do that long format,
he really got out there.
But the reason why I drop everything a lot of times when I see someone come on Joe's show, it's not even the guest sometimes, like it's part of it, but I want to experience that guest through Joe, because I have spent hours with him. I'm like, oh man, I wonder what his opinion is going to be on this guy. So that being said, for people that are, whatever your business or brand or art may be, podcasting is a way for someone to get to know you, and you really, in an authentic way, I would say, and especially when you're having other guests on, they get to be a fly in the wall on the wall for these conversations you're having with someone, and they're really getting to see what makes you tick, what your strengths may be, and I've been more vulnerable lately, just being more open, what my weaknesses are, what I'm working on, and creating that connection and authenticity. So that would be my thing, is people that are thinking of doing a podcast, it's a way for you to really put a solid voice, not just these sound bites or quick clips, but for people that are willing to tune in for long form to really get to know you in an authentic way.
So when I met Sam, he reminds me of Ricky Nelson, Elvis, Pat Boone, who's still around. And he has this such clean looking kind of hipster, cool daddy, kind of cool look, without being the cool daddy kind of cool look. It's like he's been able to take the best of a polished person inside and project it onto the outside, so that whether he thinks he's important or not, other people see him as important. And he comes off as this really, really big energy that's very humble. And I want to ask, and for the audience, how does a podcast actor, producer, founder, multi-talent stay humble and keep the presence of humility while blowing up and glowing up, as they say, glowing up at the same time?
Great question. And thank you very much for that compliment. I really appreciate that. Excuse me one second. Excuse me.
You make Elvis proud. Let's just.
And thank you for the Pat Boone reference, because you really hit me to him. I'm like, who's Pat Boone? And I looked him up. I'm like, how have I never heard of this? Because we align on that classic Hollywood. I am a big believer in treat everybody like they're a somebody type of philosophy. Basically. It doesn't matter if it's kind of that executive rapport type thinking, where you're going to talk to the CEO of a company the exact same as you're going to talk to the lowest level employee, and I have gotten that just, I think, through my different jobs I've worked, life experience. I am no better than anybody else. And I have also been humbled throughout the years, especially, you know, in your mid-20s, you know, you have that blind ambition. We're going to take over the world and no one's going to stop us. And I still have that. And you got to, that's a whole other conversation tapping into that. But I've been humbled. I've been humbled on, and I will say it, LA is a humbling place for anyone in a good way. Anyone, whatever market you're in that you've dominated or everyone knew who you were, come to LA and everybody who's here, they were known wherever they were at. They were the big fish in their pond there. You come here, it is humbling very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
It goes well beyond talent too, because how many talented people do we probably both know that no one knows? It's a business out here. There's so many factors that go into it. So I think, and I also had a major leg injury over 4 years ago, and that humbled me a lot too. Because
I saw that in the notes.
Yeah.
Was that accident responsible for also shifting to some degree your direction of that young 20-year-old that says, oh yeah, I'm gonna change the world, blah blah blah, and to the now I'm Sam Dever in every sense of the word.
It did, because I literally was running down a hiking trail, and within an instant, the second it happened, before the pain had even hit me, I'm like, oh, life just changed.
Okay.
Just changed. You know, in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, I'm like, yep, life has changed, you know. But I'm very grateful to have gotten out of that experience and all the people that helped me along the way. But it showed me how quickly this can change. Just like that.
You think
you're in control. You think you know what's happening. But God, the universe, and life go, nope. This is happening. And what the beautiful thing about the recovery in that is, it caused me to sit down, lay down rather, for almost a year and saying, like, you are going to sit here. You are going to think, you are going to read books, and you are going to reflect.
And you're gonna shut up, basically.
Yeah. So now it's really given me a sense of urgency, because I know that time is limited, at least in this bodily form of Sam Dever. We got to get done what we need to get done now. Yes, I want to enjoy life, but enjoyment for me is producing my passion, is doing my projects. Mm-hmm. And the humbling part comes from just knowing, like, hey, it doesn't matter how great you think you are, or what things you've done. Someone once told me, like, we're all going out of here in a box.
Like, there's no time.
It's all of us are ending up the same, going one way or another.
Same direction. Like my mother used to say, you were born to die. You're born to die. I'm like, what does that mean? Why are you telling me that? I'm only 10 years old. Yeah. I don't even know what that means. You know, she would say these heavy, deep, profound things were like to us kids. We're like, what does that mean? I don't know what that means, you know.
Well, and not to shift completely different directions, it's related, because I fought with this too. You know, I've definitely have had an ego. I guess you could fall into the narcissism train a little bit in my earlier years. But after being humbled, then I come back into it. I'm like, well, I have no ego. I just want to be like nothing. But then as an artist, I realized you got to have a little bit. It's okay to put your name in the podcast. It's okay. You are you. You got to be you. I like wearing turtlenecks. I like wearing sport coats. And
I love the way you dress.
Well, you know, and I'm a big believer in how you do anything is how you do everything. And how you present yourself, you feel good. You're showing people. And even this year, I've started going clean shaven again. I haven't gone clean shaven in years. Maybe it's the Pat Boone influence you gave me there.
He's always been clean like that. Just
clean.
Clean. You know, just like, who is that? Like somebody, even if you didn't know him and you saw him, be like, who is that? There's just the whole aura and presence. We are running out of time.
Okay.
I want you to give your social media tags. But before we do, I got to do a shout out to our sponsor once again, certified senior and real estate probate specialist, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker. You can reach out to Kevin. He is always reachable and he reaches back. And his number is 818-571-1508-818-571-1508. 08. And let's hear some social media tags from Sam. Let's go, Mr. Sam.
Okay, so I'll keep this simple. To learn about more about me as a person and all what I do, you can go to samdever.com. To learn more about the podcast, you can go to thesamdeverpodcast.com. Produce Your Passion. We have a splash page up right now, but you can join because we're going to be launching a website and a lot of stuff coming soon. ProduceYourPassion.com. To learn more about the company, Sam Dever Productions, you can go to samdeverproductions.com. You can also find all those social media by going to the social media. I will plug the podcast YouTube, youtube.com/@thesamdeverpodcast. And thank you so much, Osiris, for this opportunity. This has been fantastic. You ask incredible questions, and I can't wait for you to come on the podcast next week.
I cannot wait. I'm going to be on his show, everybody. Drum roll. Sam, it's samdeverproductions.com, correct?
That's one of the websites. Yep.
One of the websites. Then it's at Sam Dever on IG, right?
Yep. Just type Sam Dever at Sam Dever on Instagram, the Sam Dever podcast on Instagram. If you type those in the search, it will pop up.
It will come up because he's huge out there, even though, you know, I'm so happy that sometimes you don't know how big you are until you step out there in the pool, because it keeps it real, you know, keeps it so you don't have to feel like stress and strain. Don't forget about me, Osiris Munir. I'm under Osiris_Munir, M-U-N-I-R, _ the painter on IG. We also have a blog, Ankh, like the Egyptian Ankh, A-N-K-H, entertainment, the word, onetheword.net. And also website Express, N-I-N, abstract.net. And we'll be back next week with a wonderful show. We want to say shout out to LA Talk Radio Live, Sam Hassan. Yeah. And
thank
again,
you so much.
Thanks to Sam Dever and his wonderful podcast personality. We love you so much. And keep that Pat Boone, Ricky Nelson, handsome thing going, man.
Thank you so much.
I love it. I love the way it's such a strong presentation. It says a lot about who you are and what you stand for. And we'll see you next time. Don't forget. See you next time. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders. And bye-bye. Say bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Sounds good. Thank you, Osiris. Thank you so much.
I'm working the AI thing right now.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.